All right. Well, there's a new power panel. Drop it. All right. Look at this. Aida Rodriguez is back. And Grace, too, I guess.
Whatever. I've never seen that graphic before.
Oh, really?
You've never been on a Friday show? I've never been on the power panel before.
Congratulations. You've made it.
This is a big day for me. Thank you. I'd like to thank my parents. They raised me well. I'd like to thank Cenk for this opportunity.
Thank Irina. Yeah. All right. So, as you can tell, new power panel for the second hour. And there's a good amount of controversy in this hour, which we're going to get to in a second. Let me read a couple of quick teats for you guys.
Please don't read any teats. I would really rather we not go there. I know it's a Friday show, Cenk, but children could be watching.
All right. Steve Peoples writes, an important reminder, Reince Priebus was among the only Trump campaign insiders not to sign a non-disclosure agreement last year. Is that true? I don't know if that's true. If that's true, oh boy, brace for impact, because he is going to have some stories coming out of that. Oh, by the way, let me just say that. Non-disclosure agreement or not, Reince Priebus is a leaker. Okay, and so that's like I said in the first hour, that's the one thing that is true about Mooch and Trump's attacks against him. He has a treasure trove of information and is now super bitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Oh, brace for impact, Trump people. Okay, all right. Now, just another name writes in, donors don't pay politicians to stay in office. They pay politicians to be in office. They pay media to keep polls in office. So in other words, pass the damn tax cuts. This is exactly why we put you in office. Mr. Charles says, $10 a month for membership is a steal. Whoa, look at that. Thank you, Mr. Charles. I'm now winning with TYT old school. Believe me, I'm winning bigly. Who doesn't love Mr. Charles? Okay, Mr. Charles, your choice, either exclusive TYT lapel pin, okay, or a TYT t-shirt, nice. Okay? So thank you for that plug for us. And you're right, the old school is, people love that show. So check that out. Again, last day for free trial membership for a whole month. So it is, in fact, time to panic. I hear that's why Reince Priebus left the administration. He's like, I got it. I can't be messing around doing chief of staff stuff. I got to go get TYT membership. So tytnetwork.com/join, enter the promo code free TYT. And again, thank you, Mr. Charles. All right, lots of stories.
Lots of stories.
Go.
All right. So, Anthony Scaramucci's wife has filed for divorce. That's right. The new White House new communications director has, you know, his wife has left him, and apparently it has something to do, according to Page Six, with his naked political ambition. Deidre Ball, who worked as a vice president in investor relations for Skybridge Capital, the firm he founded in 2005 and sold to ascend to the White House, has filed for divorce from the Mooch after 3 years of marriage, after getting fed up with his ruthless quest to get close to President Trump, whom she despises. Deidre has left him and has filed for divorce. She liked the nice Wall Street life and their home on Long Island, not the insane world of DC. She is tired of his naked ambition, which is so enormous that it left her at her wit's end. She has left him, though they have two children together. They were married in 2014 and they began dating in 2011. And now I want to get a response from this panel. You are with someone, they're the love of your life. They start working for Donald Trump. Grounds for divorce, yay or nay?
Absolutely.
That was so clear.
I don't think she's leaving him because he's ambitious. I think she's leaving him because he's negotiable. And I think
that's a great point.
You know what I mean? I think it's not because he's ambitious. No, nothing's wrong. There's nothing wrong with ambition, but he has a price. And I don't want to be married to nobody who's called the Mooch.
Yeah.
What is this? Like, it just sounds like something from a sitcom from the 80s. But I just
she even donated $5,400 to the congressional campaign of anti-Trump Democrat Kathleen Rice in 2015. Oh, yeah. So it wasn't that she was sort of casually against Trump. She's anti-Trump. And like you said, her husband sort of, it seems a lot like he sold himself out to now, you know, work for Donald Trump. Look at all the tweets he deleted. I know you guys, we've talked about this before on this show.
Yeah, I love when he tweeted, deleted the tweets. He's like, for further transparency, I'm deleting my tweets. Yeah. No, that would be the opposite. Anyway, so, but I actually have a slightly harsher view of her than you do, which is that it's not that he's negotiable. or ambitious, she didn't mind either one of them when he was just making cash.
Right.
Like when he was in the financial world and they got a nice house in Long Island, everything was great. Okay, but now you're going to DC and mucking up our name. And yeah, and now to be fair to her, and also working for a loathsome guy who I can't stand. And that is, you know, potentially an act of great principle. So either way, I support her.
Yeah. Okay. Even shady people have their limits. Right,
right. Right.
I mean,
so,
I will,
and you know, it's hard, and Jim, to be fair to her, it is super hard to judge her motivation. And maybe she really genuinely loved Mooch, but then was like horrified to find out, because they haven't been married that long, that, oh, this is not the guy I thought he was. If he would work for a guy like Trump, that's not what I signed up for.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I think there's like an investigation discovery show. It has to do with murder, nothing about this, but it's who the F did I marry, who the bleep did I marry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that obviously this is from Page Six, so it's very salacious in how it's reporting. And Ball has not was not able to reach for a comment, and a representative for the Mooch also has not commented. So we're getting sort of a scandalous twist on this story. While I'm sure there is some element of truth to this, I want to just take a lot of this with a grain of salt. Like, I don't think this is really as soap opera-y as they're making it sound.
Well, and maybe it is, but also that's no wonder there's that Long Island, she liked the Long Island home thing. So I'm now that you point out that it's from the New York Post, I feel bad for falling for it. Because New York Post is a very conservative newspaper owned by Rupert Murdoch. So that's why they might be shivving her by saying like, right, oh, she liked the Long Island home. Oh, yeah.
The whole thing is kind of colored in a way that they want, there's a narrative behind it. So just take everything with a grain of salt from New York Post. So that said,
I think though, if you're married to somebody and you take a stand, if you say, I don't want to be married to somebody who supports this administration, that says something about her. I think we need more people to do that, because a lot of us are complicit, and that's the biggest problem that we're dealing with when it comes to this Trump. If you don't, a lot of people who tell me, "Oh, I didn't vote for him because he's a racist." It wasn't about that. It was about money. You supported that bull regardless, and I think that's cool. I think all you women who are married to these guys, you need to leave them, even the ones who need. I'm not gonna say it. I'm gonna be good today.
I've asked those questions in meetings, I asked Anna and everything, with Jeff Sessions, any of these guys that work under him, and they get on their knees for him. I was like, they still go home to their wives and their spouses.
To turn off.
And then don't their wives look at them and go, wow, I saw you on TV today. I lose a lot of respect for the way you're kissing this guy's ass. I would think it would have to be a natural reflex.
Yeah.
It's a turn off.
So look, the question that Grace asked is a super good one. In fact, I want to do a poll about it. I always do the polls when I'm like curious what you guys would do. So we'll call it tyntnetwork.com/divorce. Would you divorce your spouse if they started working for Donald Trump? So, because I'm telling you, I'm not sure which way I'd answer, because it's one thing when it's theoretical, but when you think about it in the real world, number one, I mean, I love my wife, I got kids, I don't want to divorce my wife, that's nuts, right? But if she supports Donald Trump, that's deeply disturbing, but I'm not getting divorced over a wrong vote, right?
Right.
But you go work for him, and you're his communications advisor, and you're the main person who's supporting and complicit with this monster. Man, now we got a real issue in America, right? So I don't know which way I vote on that. I'm gonna take the weekend to think about it. But but that, I see why she did what she did. And to Ida's point, look, Ivanka Trump is constantly saying, I'm not complicit. Yes. And then, but she is.
Yeah.
She's never fought on any issue that we can see. And she certainly never won on any issue that
That's
we've
right.
seen where she's pulled Trump to be more moderate. She claimed to be a friend of the LGBT community, and Trump just destroyed that.
Lols.
Right? Yeah.
LOL.
So you are complicit. But so here's a person who chose not to be complicit and deserves a ton of credit for that.
I agree. And you know what? Maybe she did it publicly because, you know, he is the Mooch. So if something happens to her, now we all know, because you know, he is the Mooch.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And he apparently, one last thing. I mean, it's also probably good timing on her part. Again, I don't want to impugn her motives, but although I did it earlier and I feel bad about it, is that he sold Skybridge Capital in order to get the Trump White House. And then he didn't make it into the White House because of Reince Priebus. That's why he shivved Reince Priebus in the first place. Now he's in charge, and Reince Priebus is gone. But since he sold his, and one of the things that Reince has said about him is he sold his company to the Chinese. They overpaid him, because they want to take advantage of you, Donald.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Finances.
So if they in fact did overpay him, well, she gonna get half. Okay. All right.
Let's move on.
Next story.
The Justice Department issued an amicus brief asserting that provisions in Title VII do not protect sexual orientation. The Justice Department has filed court papers arguing that a major federal civil rights law does not protect employees from discrimination based on sexual orientation, taking a stand against a decision reached under President Barack Obama. The department's move to assert itself into a federal case in New York was an unusual example of top officials in Washington intervening in court in what is an important but essentially private dispute between a worker and his boss over a gay rights issue. So the filing is a discrimination case that came before the United States Courts of Appeal in the Second Circuit. Basically, what it deals with is there's a skydiving instructor who revealed his sexual orientation. He's gay. He was gay. He actually passed away in 2014 to someone that he was instructing, following which the company fired him, terminated his employment. Now, in its brief, the department noted that every Congress since 1974 has declined to add a sexual orientation provision to Title VII, despite what it called notable changes in societal and cultural attitudes. This is definitely a departure from what we saw under the Obama administration, who in 2015, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission under Mr. Obama issued a contrary ruling, deciding on a vote of 3 Democrats to 2 Republicans that discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation was illegal. Now, this is an easy case for me as a gay person to get disheartened about, but for my LGBT brothers and sisters, there is some good news. Shortly after the new brief was filed, civil rights activists attacked it. In a statement on Wednesday, Vinita Gupta, who ran the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division under Mr. Obama, said the Trump administration's court filing contravenes recent court decisions and guidance issued by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. However, the Department of Justice issued its own contrary opinion. In his own statement, Devin O'Malley, a Justice Department spokesman, said that the brief was consistent with the Justice Department's longstanding position and the holdings of different courts of appeals. Mr. O'Malley adding that the filing reaffirms the department's fundamental belief that the courts cannot expand the law beyond what Congress has provided. So here's what I think we need to be talking about. So Title VII is a pretty broad-reaching civil rights statute that doesn't necessarily outline every type of protection that it affords. So what we're seeing is under the Obama administration, it was interpreted in one way. And now the Trump administration, it seems like they're throwing their weight around saying, no, we interpret it totally differently. But there isn't actually a federal precedent that is binding here. SCOTUS hasn't spoken out on this. With that said, I want to know, political parties aside, whose interpretation is correct?
Okay, so prepare to be a little surprised, at least, and disappointed in me. I agree with the Trump administration. So, and I am fairly conservative judicially, and don't get me wrong, I don't agree with their policies at all. The idea that you should be allowed to discriminate against LGBT community is loathsome, ridiculous, preposterous, and un-American. But Title VII says that you cannot discriminate based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It does not say sexual identity, and it should. So they should pass a law immediately saying that, but they haven't. So, and as the conservative lawyers point out here, over and over again, Congress has had every opportunity in the world to pass that law and has chosen not to. So this is where, again, what it means to be conservative judicially is not politically conservative, but to say we're gonna interpret what's in the law. Now, and oftentimes, I think so-called conservative jurists will twist the law to get to their own opinion. But if you don't do that, you just look at the text of this bill, it doesn't say sexual identity. So I actually think that they're right about this. Now, again, one last thing about what I disagree with them about. Trump claimed that he was gonna be a bigger friend to the LGBT community than Hillary Clinton or anyone else, or was gonna make your head spin. No, I told you he was full of crap. Of course he is. He was never going to be a friend to the LGBT community. If he was, even if he did this on principle, laugh along with me, he would then propose, hey, he would get his friends in the Senate to propose a bill to put sexual identity in the bill. And of course he's not going to do that, because he always intended to discriminate.
Yeah. I First of all, if I ever go skydiving, I only want to go skydiving with a gay man. So let's just be clear. Rest in peace, Mr. Zarda. What I want to talk about when it comes to this, because you guys both said the same thing to me. You told me before the show that legally this is. But it's just every single thing that Obama did. This administration is so focused on undoing what Obama did that they don't care about the people. I guess to prove to the people that they were going to keep their word, that they're going to uphold and put in, and endorse their bigotry. And it's just so frustrating. It's like I said before, it's like if there are apples in the White House that were there when Obama was there, they threw all the apples out and they were like, only oranges, because it's like constantly, let's get rid of that name. I mean, even people at risk of losing their health care because that name is attached to that. It's so obvious and so annoying. But on a moral scale, when I think about these conservatives who are always claiming to uphold morality, their morality is always at the expense of somebody else's humanity. And that is what's so frustrating. That we, to this day, like that shirt that I saw at the march, this older white woman, she was like maybe 70. She was like, I can't believe I still have to march for this shit. Mm-hmm. That we are still having debates about gay people being able to have rights and not being harassed and discriminated against at work.
So can I just build off that real quick? And then Grace, I'm actually super curious about your opinion on this. So Democrats, why don't you propose a bill that puts sexual identity in Title VII and put the Republicans on the spot? Because history is on your side.
Yep.
First of all, the present is on your side. Now a significant majority of Americans believe that LGBT people are actually humans.
What?
I know, right? And should have the same rights as everybody else. And so, so you'd win today.
Yes.
And then later, when that number moves from whatever it is today, 57, whatever it is, to 77 and 97, you'll have them on the record as the people who never believed in equality and who never believed in America in the first place.
Yep. Cenk, that is exactly where I stand on this. I think that I want to see action from people who assert that they are allies for the LGBT community to propose something so that we don't have to deal with this sort of legal loopholes, which again, I had to write my thoughts down because this is obviously an issue I'm very close to. And it is worth noting, I wrote, the DOJ is not dead wrong in their interpretation because they are not arguing against binding prior court decisions. What it's going to come down to is the proclivities of the Second Circuit, which fortunately it's a fairly liberal circuit without a Trump appointee. But right now, we're just kind of crossing our fingers that they will have a liberal and progressive interpretation of Title VII. We shouldn't have to hope for that anymore in 2017. No. I would like to see the introduction of a bill that people can vote on so that people will go on the record, are you an ally or not? It would be such a clear-cut issue. Do you believe that I should be fired for being gay? I mean, I really think that that's where we're at, because it is disheartening to look at this and think, well, yeah, actually, unfortunately, there isn't a binding federal precedent here, and there is no mention of sexual orientation in Title VII. So the Obama administration was lenient on their interpretation. 2014, 2015 saw some administrative decisions and memos issued that would indicate that Title VII is to protect on the basis of sexual orientation, but nothing in writing. Let's get something in writing. Let's be progressive. Let's take action here. I'm not satisfied with just trusting an administration will have our best interests at heart, because we're looking at what they're doing under, you know, General Sessions. They don't care.
And
in fact, they're acting specifically, all that they did to issue this amicus brief, they didn't need to. This didn't concern them, really. This is a relatively small filing. They just wanted to throw their weight around just to say, hey, just so you know, this isn't really, you know, this is we're the new sheriffs in town right now, so don't get too comfortable. What I would really like to see, too, is if the HRC or if Lambda Legal will come out and issue another third party opinion, and that will be taken into consideration before there is a court analysis.
Gays for Trump, if you look up that hashtag, there are so many people who are gays for Trump. I laugh at them like I laugh at the Latinas for Trump, too. But there are so many gay people who are, I mean, and the people who follow Milo or whatever his name is, Milo, the devil guy, there are so many people that are just like really behind this. And this is with every group that was supporting Trump. It's your turn this time, you know, now. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think about this, because I get harassed by gays for Trump on Twitter.
Why?
I want to know what you think, because I speak out out against Trump. And they're like, Trump is progressive. And I know some of us who are self-haters, yeah, they're like, you know, we don't want to be attached to people that need and don't want to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. That applies to every group. There are a lot of gay elitists out there who voted for Trump. And now here it is. Now you can be discriminated against and harassed at your job, and it's not against the law. Now what? Well, I want to hear from you. You want to tweet me about that.
Okay, so let me just say the last couple of things on this. One is, I know that it's open to interpretation, but I think you're really stretching interpretively to say that sexual orientation is in there when it's not. So I know that you could make an argument about, hey, these are generally protecting rights. I understand that argument. I got to be honest with you, I don't agree with it. But that's why I want a bill and not just a vague interpretation. But don't think that they're acting out of principle. He did this on the day that he was getting tremendous heat for the Russian connections and potentially firing Sessions and Mueller. He did the trans ban in the military on the same day. It's red meat for his base. It is a very minor issue in terms of the legal precedent that it's being set. It's an important issue in terms of civil rights, right? So, but they didn't do it out of principle randomly on this day. They did it for red meat. And the reason that the gays for Trump and all those guys say that they're in favor of it, and they'll say they're in favor of this. You know what? All they want is attention.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually care about protecting fellow gays. Are you crazy? He doesn't care about anybody but himself. So he's like, great, this is another opportunity to self-aggrandize, and I'll get even more attention for saying I'm against gays when I'm gay, right? And yes, my career at the expense of everyone else. And finally, yeah, exactly right, Ida. All the gay supporters, including Peter Thiel, who is a very wealthy Silicon Valley investor who did that speech at the convention for Donald Trump. He happens to be gay, and he's like, no, it's okay, Trump will be fine, I want my tax cuts. What now? What now? So you were wrong about that. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you think, I don't care, I'll throw all the rest of my community under a bus because I'd like to make an extra buck. But at least be honest about it, because that's exactly what you're doing. And bootstraps, well, if you worked super hard and you got a great job and you pulled yourself up by the bootstraps, now they can just fire you for being gay, no matter what you did.
All right, let's take a quick break because we're going to take a very tonally different look. We're going to be talking about vasectomies when we come back, and we're also going to be talking about Angelina Jolie. So find out how after the break.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Ida, and Grace with you guys. Samuel Allen is a member of the day, and so is Jennifer Varone. Thank you guys. Look, starting tomorrow, we're going to go back to the normal course of business, tytnetwork.com/join. Today's the last day of free trial membership. That's you can put in the promo code free TYT. But that doesn't mean don't sign up tomorrow. And part of the reason to sign up, not just the convenience of getting all the TYT shows whenever you want, but it's also because you support us. You make this possible. You allow for independent media. If it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't have put the pressure on McCain that we did when he came back and voted the wrong way. TV did nothing but applaud him. We went in the other direction and pointed out that he was being a hypocrite. And lo and behold, now after that pressure, I don't know if it had some part to do with it, but he turns. Independent media is important. Help support us, guys. TYTnetwork.com/join. Speaking of which, Gabby Morita tweets, while home in Spain for the summer, I can't watch old school live, so I treasure my Young Turks membership, letting me watch archives. Thank you, Gabby. That's very nice. And then finally, W. Steinem writes in, so Priebus has some free time. I look forward to his live tweets during TYT. Remember, Ryan's hashtag TYT live.
I would love that.
Okay, that's awesome. All right. What's next?
We have an update to the story about a Tennessee judge who offered sentence reductions in exchange for inmates getting vasectomies and or birth control. So Judge Sam Benningfield's now rescinded standing order was first issued in May and allowed White County inmates to wipe 30 days off their sentences if they agreed to a vasectomy. Women were able to receive a Nexplanon birth control implant for the same sentence reduction. The American Civil Liberties Union of Tennessee applauded Benningfield's reversal, no duh. They say say, quote, to the individual faced with these collateral consequences of time spent behind bars, a choice between sterilization or contraception and a reduced jail sentence is not much of a choice at all. This comes from the executive director. The judge's order crossed a constitutional line, and we are pleased that he rescinded it. For his part, Benningfield told the Times Free Press, quote, I wasn't on a crusade. I don't have a mission. I thought I could help a few folks, get them thinking, and primarily help children. He cited a meeting with the Tennessee representatives from the Department of Health, and they were seeking to educate inmates on the dangers of using drugs while pregnant. And he was also talking about offering free contraceptives and pointed to other local judges who are offering sentence reductions in exchange for the completion of educational programs. Now, obviously, he jacked that up a whole bunch. Worth noting, though, is although vasectomies and birth control implants are no longer available in exchange for less time to serve, inmates in White County can still receive 2 days of credit on their sentences if they successfully complete a Tennessee Department of Health neonatal syndrome education program. That seems pretty reasonable to me. Are you surprised that he changed his tune, guys?
Well, he got a lot of heat for it.
He got a lot of heat. Yeah.
And I don't know his politics, but I know that some conservatives are like, yeah, let's do some vasectomies.
Yes.
I remember, wait, I thought you guys were against birth control.
Yeah.
Oh, when it's for poor people, all of a sudden you are for birth control. Isn't that funny how it works? In fact, permanent birth control.
Yeah.
That is quite funny. And so is it constitutional? No. He's like, well, it's optional. No, no, you can't say, all right, well, now you committed a robbery or something, you got 7 years, but you can knock a year off your sentence for if we cut off your pinky. Look, you might take it. You might, the year of your life's a big deal. You might, no, we're not cutting off people's pinkies. We're not the Taliban. Giving vasectomies to guys. And by the way, for only 30 days off his sentence. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's nothing. I think I was going to ask you if White County is a poor place. I didn't have a chance to look it up. But you know, like in the 70s and the 70s, there was a big amount of women of color who got hysterectomies. That was a very big thing in poor communities. That just reminded me of this. It feels like history is repeating itself, and it's like not the good history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for educational programs to help people who are in prison, because a lot of them don't have a strong educational background if they come from poor places, but vasectomies and Norplants, guys, come on.
Yeah, and look, finally, if you have a question as to why he's doing this and the effects of it. So at first, when I saw the headline back when this first story came out and he had announced this, I thought, no, it's probably for rape, right? And so I'm still against that, because that's not what we should be doing to people. I mean, what are we going to make them eunuchs, right? But it turns out it's not for rape. I'm like, vasectomies for what then? And then I read the part about, you know, birth control for women because they might be on drugs and it could hurt the baby. I'm like, okay, maybe. All right, at least there's a fig leaf there, right? And then I found out, no, it's also for guys for random crimes. So no, it didn't have anything to do with protecting the kids or protecting women. It turns out you thought, these people are bums. They shouldn't have kids. If these people have kids, I mean, the kids are, well, but by definition, they will suffer because they're, you know, look at these people. And no, even if it's not based on race, and historically it has been, in this case, again, I don't want to judge too harsh. I don't know the exact contours of the people it applies to, but it almost certainly has to do with class.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and he sort of cites this where he says that he was looking at some of the people that he had incarcerated, and he was talking about women whose children had to be removed, and like drug addiction like you were talking about. And then with regards to the men, because that's sort of the question here, he was saying that they were having trouble not supporting these kids, and he decided to take an extra step. That's how he qualified it. But this is what, I mean, especially when you know that there are educational programs to be offered, this is way too severe.
You know what, let me say one last thing about it. Again, I don't know why I'm being so polite to this guy, but like, maybe having read his statements, I'm not positive that he has bad intent, right? And he might think that he has good intent, which is actually how a lot of stereotypes work. Mm-hmm. You don't know that you're, like, you don't actively think like, I hate poor people or whatever, right? But he has assumptions built in. This, like, if you said to him, "Hey, you know what? Your neighbor is a tax evader, and so he's really rich and he's doing well, and his kids are going to this or whatever, right? But he's a serious criminal. He stole way more, or he did a white collar crime. He stole way more than the guy who you want to give a vasectomy to. Do you think we should neuter him?" Mm-hmm. He would say, "No, he's a good, upstanding citizen."
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
That bias is built into his head. So when he sees a poor person, female or male, for whatever crime, he thinks they shouldn't be having kids.
Yeah. Well, everyone thinks they're a good guy in their own story, and that, and unfortunately, he doesn't realize his own prejudice in asserting that on the lives of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, look, we promised you the Angelina Jolie story, and for all of you guys online, we're going to give it to you. And we got a funny story about Donald Trump and his drawings.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just Bush who's doing drawings, but for the folks on the radio, we love you guys. We want you to have a great weekend. And by the way, if you're anywhere near Pasadena or Southern California, Politicon is happening this weekend. Anna is going to debate Ann Coulter. I'm going to debate Ben Shapiro. Haas is going to debate Charlie Kirk. And I'm going to be on a panel, Democrats What Now, with Democratic senators. And we're going to have a debate as to which direction the Democratic Party should go to. That's the thing I see, other than the Anna and Ann Coulter debate, the one I'm most excited about. So go to politicon.com/TYT, politicon.com/TYT to get tickets. There's one more fun thing that's happening in the weekend, that is Game of Thrones. We do reviews live. We watch it live together with you guys, doing play by play, and then we do a review. And that is at youtube.com/TYT. Obviously, when Game of Thrones starts, which is 9 p.m. Eastern, or facebook.com/whattheflick. Ida, do you have any?
Yes, I'm at Flappers tonight and tomorrow night. Four
yes,
shows.
Yes, Flappers.
And I'm going to Politicon because I have to be back up in case something goes down.
I'm going to Politicon too.
Yeah.
Out. Okay. I'm actually nervous. I have no idea what to expect.
There are some loathsome right wingers there. So come back us up. And I'm not sure what to expect either.
I'm packing a bag of snacks for Ann Coulter with Anna.
Just popcorn, me and you in the corner.
All right, politicon.com/TYT. All right, online audience, we'll be right back. All right, we're back right away. So guys, apparently I read you the wrong thing. Okay, so for Game of Thrones reviews, normally we do the watch party for the watch. But this weekend, because of Politicon, very few of us are here. So we're going to be doing the review and put it up on Monday morning. So, but all the reviews are always on youtube.com/whattheflickshow. Okay, What the Flick Show. So, or if you just type in What the Flick on YouTube, you'll get it.
Yeah, it's okay. There. I think the Game of Thrones reviews are some of the most popular videos on the channel always. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, what's next?
All right, we got Angelina Jolie and Donald Trump's finger painting, basically. Angelina Jolie is under fire for some recent casting decisions on her upcoming Netflix movie. She spoke to Vanity Fair and a lot of the interview was innocuous, but there was something that is really catching some flair online. Her made-for-Netflix film, First They Killed My Father, tells the story of life under the regime of Cambodian dictator Pol Pot. According to the article, Jolie looked in orphanages, circuses, and slum schools for children who had experienced hardship to audition for the role of Luan Ung, from whose memoir the film is adapted. And now, when they were looking to cast this leading role, they set up a game. What sort of a game? Let me tell you. The set up a game disturbing in its realism. They put money on the table and asked the child to think of something she needed the money for, and then for the child to snatch it away. The director would pretend to catch the child, and the child would have to come up with a lie. Stray Mach, the girl ultimately chosen for the part, was the only child that stared at the money for a very, very long time. When she was forced to give it back, she became overwhelmed with emotion. All these different things came flooding back. When she was asked later what the money was for, she said her grandfather had died and they didn't have enough money for a nice funeral. Now, a question that I'm still trying to find the answer to is, if with all the other kids that they tested, did they let them keep the money? Exactly what went down? I haven't been able to find definitive answers to that question. Either way, I think this is pretty cruel. Do you guys agree? Is this just what casting directors do? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's like this the Hunger Games Hollywood edition. I talk about this in my stand-up, and a lot of people get really upset with me because people are always lauding her for her being a humanitarian. Even on Twitter, mm-hmm. if you look at the response to this, people are like, are you kidding me? There is this disease sometimes that the liberal thinking has, that they're rescuing and saving, you know, those of us that are people of color. There is a children of color have become like novelties, like handbags and designer dogs in Hollywood. Like everyone has one. It's like this thing. And I'm not saying that everyone is like that. And those people whose intentions are in the right place. But when there's always a camera and you so this is so appalling. This is, you know how hard it, think about your own traumas as a child, how they stay with you forever. They shape your self-esteem. Things that happen to you when you're a young kid, these kids are under even worse circumstances, and we are snatching money. I mean, I don't even know how this is up for discussion in terms of, is this right or wrong? This is ridiculous, and this is part of that thinking that we're gonna go rescue the people of color. Like, this is, we're saving the little children. This white privileged mentality that is so disgusting that sometimes conservatives take an aim at. And it's, no, this is freaking wrong. It's wrong. I'm sorry. It just made me so angry. When I read this, I had to read it over and over again. I'm like, I can't believe this came out of her mouth. And people were like, don't attack her. Attack the producers and the casting. Attack everybody. Anybody who saw this and said that this was okay should be in trouble.
It does make me think there must have been another way to elicit the sort of emotional response to see if a child could go there for the purposes of acting. Because that's the thing, child actors, it's especially when they're so young, it's really hard to explain that you're acting. You sort of just have to say that you're playing make-believe. Casting can be difficult. And we've seen that in the casting of tons and tons of child actors in the past. This game seems incredibly short-sighted and insensitive, given the demographic that they were targeting for this role. There must have been another way, and for someone not to have stepped in and been like, hey, how about not money, and how about we just consider exactly who we're targeting and how we target these kids for this role.
Go get actors. And it's like that Marlon Brando story when they did not tell that woman that he was gonna take it to the next level with the sexual assault to see what her reaction would be in the film. This is, that's cruel. It's just cruel. This is, go ahead, Jenks.
But on the other hand though, next time they have to do a casting call based on traumatic incidents, the kids will be prepared. Because they'll have had this one. You're right, Aida. This is a no-brainer. Look, I'll tell you an amazing, great experiment that a teacher did with good intention in Kansas a long time ago. It's a legendary psychological experiment. But it led to banning experiments with kids for understandable reasons. She did the blue eye, brown eye experiment. Oh, so she said, okay, now those of you guys with brown eyes and blue eyes separate. Blue eyes are inferior, I just found out, and brown eyes are superior. And then she tested them, and the brown eyed kids started doing better in school, and the blue eyed kids started doing worse immediately. And the more they lasted, the worse their scores got. And the blue eyed kids started internalizing that they were inferior. And so it was an amazing experiment. And then she switched them, and it worked again, even though it was the same kids. She said, no, it was a mistake. The blue-eyed kids are the superior ones, and the brown-eyed ones are the inferior ones. And again, they internalize it. So it was amazing what we found out about humanity through that experiment, but it traumatized the kids significantly, right? And you're playing with young kids' minds. So we've known this for a long time. You can't do that. And you certainly can't do it for a movie. So, you know, it's a super interesting point you make, Aida, about the kids and Hollywood kind of using them as props. In the words that you used. Now, I got more mixed feelings about that. And of course, there's people who do adoptions in all different places that mean really, really well. I know a couple that just adopted from Latin America, and that's because the wife was adopted from Latin America. Right. So great, well-meaning people who do that all the time. Yeah. And still, Angelina Jolie is raising African American kids, Asian kids, and she's spending her whole life with them.
Yeah.
So that's a tough question. This one is not a tough question.
No,
you can't play around with kids and go, but hey, but we did hire one of them.
Yeah. And I'm not questioning her motives because I think she loves her children. I just wish she put some lotion on the darker ones. But because they're ashy and that's not cool, Angelina. But I think that this is really, I agree with you. And I think we shouldn't even have these types of discussions. Our humanity should evolve to the place where stuff like this should be preposterous. It's like, how in any, and now the girl who got the the job. Like, okay, you won. What about everybody else? And they're all going to be scarred.
Yeah, where is the oversight when it comes to production? And what are you valuing? Ooh, like the emotional response you can get from this kid on camera, or you also have to value these kids who are from Cambodia, from hard lives.
Yep.
How they're going to internalize that? What are you prioritizing?
Some of the kids were from a Cambodian circus. They don't have easy lives. And look, if you're sitting at home going, what's the big deal, man? I wouldn't have been traumatized by that. Yes, but you're not a kid in a Cambodian circus. You're not however old these young kids were, right? And maybe some of them aren't traumatized, but don't take that chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Our final story, my favorite one.
I can't even stop laughing.
Budding artist, Donald Trump, artist in chief. So a drawing by President Donald Trump of the New York skyline just sold for close to $30,000. This was a sketch that Donald Trump drew for a charity campaign in 2005, but it was auctioned on Thursday. Let's take a look at his artwork.
Ooh.
There you go. There it is, okay. with that signature right underneath it. So the simple drawing, which prominently features Trump Tower, was created for a 2005 campaign to support child literacy by mailing company Pitney Bowes. Trump, along with actors, athletes, and Senator John McCain and Joe Lieberman, sketched drawings on the back of envelopes that were then auctioned off. Thought it would be sort of fun to compare and contrast this artwork stylings of presidents current and presidents of the past. So let's take a look at some artwork from George W. Bush. Well, that's George W. Bush of George H.W. Bush.
That was not that bad.
He has a perspective. I think we have another one from George W. There's Tony Blair.
Wow.
That's nice. He gets the hair is really good.
You know what? Look, we're the most fair show in America because there's Eisenhower.
Well, this is Dwight D. Eisenhower. I looked up other presidents you might not have expected also had some artwork, and this is Jimmy Carter.
Oh.
Look at that bird.
Okay.
So now I want to get a definitive answer from this panel. Given the artwork you were just shown, where does Donald Trump rank?
Okay, so we're the most fair show in America because when Bush started doing those drawings, they were miserable. Okay, you remember he said, "Oh, you know, when I retire, I'm gonna go down to Crawford Ranch." Okay, and the Crawford Ranch was a gimmick the whole time. He sold it immediately. He's like, "What am I? You want me to do clear underbrush again?" No, he went to his mansion and started doing drawings, and they leaked, and they were miserable. And then we made fun of them, right? But now those other ones are not that bad. The one of his dad is pretty good. I liked it. I liked it better than all of them. And I love Carter, but. Mm-hmm. I'd rather, I don't know if I'd rather have George H.W. Bush in my house, but I like that painting a little bit more than I like the bird painting.
So, I agree.
And look, Trump's is, of course.
It's just a sketch. It's like a pen drawing.
Right. I mean, look, there's a lot of things to criticize Trump over. This is at the very bottom of the list. Does the thing suck? Of course it sucks,
Trump Tower is the one with the little squiggly thing.
Yeah, that's Trump Tower. It just kind of looks like he drew a bar graph and put a crown on one of them. That's really what it looks like to me.
I think it's funny that this picture was to raise money for children's literacy.
Maybe they thought, let's get kids to do pictures for child literacy. It'll be perfect. Or man-child.
But I will say, still, I would prefer him to quit and take up art.
That would be great.
Get really good at painting. Look what George W. did, right?
That's right. You can improve. You can get better.
You start small. Who knows where he could go?
Hang out at Color Me Mine. There you go.
He already does coloring. He colors his hair orange. That's his best work or his worst work.
That's the worst.
Anyway, on this one, I pardon you, Trump. And trust me, my drawing would be worse.
Mm-hmm.
If they asked me to do a drawing like this for child literacy, I'd be like, can I do anything else?
The only thing I can draw really well from high school is, and this is so weird, demons. I can draw awesome demons, like real looking demons with hoods and like red eyes. I can draw awesome ass demons, but that's it. And friends used to see me draw demons in school and they'd be like, oh, can you draw a picture of me? And they always ended up looking like my friends were possessed by demons.
I just love the fact that even in this, he made it a point to make his building the more better one. Mm. It's magnificent. It's pretty excellent.
And it has a wonderful door on it. I don't know if he's like the one he was going to build on the wall, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's going to have a beautiful door on it. It's going to be okay. Okay. Anyway, here's what I learned about Grace. Obsessed with death and the underworld.
Yeah.
Like the cheeriest person ever to be obsessed with the underworld.
You just learned that? This is an OP open, not even secret. This is just who I am. Grace, the angel of death, Baldridge.
You know, come to think of it, when you do it like that, you would be a scary serial killer.
I would be super scary. Thank you. That's actually the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Cenk.
All right, everybody check out Murder with Friends on Pop Trigger. One more time, Ida, where should they check you at?
I'm at Flappers tonight and tomorrow, four shows. And my album is on iTunes, or on all digital platforms. It's called I'll Say It For You, and it's not for the faint at heart.
That is true. That's what I love about you. Okay. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Remember, panic time. There's only a couple hours left before free trial membership ends. You get a whole month free. You can go through the archives, check out any and all shows, commercial free. So that's tytnetwork.com/join and promo code FREETYT. I guess that's the last time I'm saying that. And then come see us at Politicon. We'll all be there. Politicon.com/TYT. Bye-bye.